This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well. Stuffer, skeptics, atheists, lunatics, weirdos, and the sort of bad guys. And, of course, all you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. If you've tuned in and you thought you were hearing the voice of Bradley Dean, you're obviously not doing that. I am Tim Brown, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com. And for our Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah warns you about. I hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. Coming to you live here from the U.S.-occupied state of South Carolina, I'm filling in for Bradley today, and I'm doing so because we've got a very special guest on the line with me today. But before we bring him on, let me just point you over to sonsoflibertyradio.com and sonsoflibertymedia.com. If you want to find out more about us, please do that. And also, if you would, give us some support on social media. We've got a YouTube channel, Bradley Dean, Sons of Liberty, and also our Facebook page, Sons of Liberty or Bradley Dean. If you look up either one of those, you'll get that. Please follow us on that. And not only like the page, but then under the banner there, if you click following and then you click see first in the news feed, that does tend to eliminate some of the things that happen as far as censorship, because you're not only just liking a page, you're saying, I really want to see this in my news feed. So if you do that, that tends to eliminate some of those things. Also, you can follow Bradley on Twitter at BradleyDean1, BradleyDean1 on Twitter. And our phone lines are open if you have a question, but we're going to probably pretty much stick to the topic here with our guest, who I'm going to introduce in a moment. 1-866-582-9933 if you want to give us a call. Like I said, we're not going to be doing Chinese buffet. We'll stick to what the topic is. But our guest on the line that we have today is author Robert Spencer. He's the director of Jihad Watch. Author of the New York Times bestseller, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, and The Truth About Muhammad. He had one that one of our contributors has been writing a series of articles on that came from Jihad, from Muhammad to ISIS. And then his latest book is called The Palestinian Delusion. And Robert, it's great to have you with us here on the Sons of Liberty, except he went away. Okay, I don't know if there was an accidental drop there or not, but we'll wait and see if he calls back. Anyway, he's going to come on. He's going to talk about this catastrophic history of the Middle East peace process, and I think this is him calling back in. See if we get him back on here in just a moment. If you'll just hang with me, we'll bring him right back on. Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hey, sorry about that. I think we lost you there. Right as I was fixing to hit the button to turn you on, man. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sons
of Liberty. No problem. Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so look, you've been on, you've been kind enough to let us carry some of your articles. So we consider you sort of a brother in arms, if you will, in getting the truth out about Islam and about jihad. And your latest book, I guess it's your publisher, they sent me the book, so I've been perusing some of that in spare time, which I have very little of. But you're kind of covering the history of this quote-unquote Middle East process, a peace process, between Israel and the nations surrounding her. And
yeah.
What's you've written on all kinds of subjects concerning Islam. What's brought about this particular book at this point in time?
Well, there's so much misinformation and disinformation out there about this conflict, and it's leading to wrong policies, failed policies, and that costs lives, costs money, and there's no good in it. So I thought this is a book I've wanted to write a long time, and finally I got the chance. It is, I hope, something that will end up being a corrective to all that false, all the policy based on false premises.
Okay, let's talk about some of those. Let's talk about some of those things as the what the false premises are. For instance, I know there's one issue that pretty much at the heart of this. I know when you go to Scripture, I think there's one instance in an English translation where you find Palestine. The rest of them, I believe, are Palestina, or we might term it as Philistia. And people will get where that leads us to in that. But what is this issue to where all of a sudden, you know, over what, several of the past few decades, we've had this drive for Palestine, Palestinians, as it were. What's the history on that?
It was invented in the 1960s as a propaganda stick to beat Israel with. The Palestinian people never existed, and they are not distinct in any way from the Arabs of the surrounding areas, Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. The Palestinian people, it's interesting that you mention about the Philistines in the Bible, because actually that's what happened. The Jews in Judea revolted against Roman rule in the year 134, and they lost. They were then expelled from the area. And the Romans renamed Judea, the land of the Jews, Palestine, which was a name they got from the scriptures, as the name of the ancient enemy of the Jews. There were no Philistines by the time all this happened. They had long ago died out. And so they took the name anyway, and it's just the name of a region. It had never been the name of a people. In the 1960s, almost 2,000 years later, the KGB and Yasser Arafat invented the Palestinians as a nationality and a people in order to counter the widespread idea that you had Israel, this tiny, courageous people, fighting these massive Arab states that surrounded it. They created an even smaller people that was supposedly menaced by the massive Israeli war machine.
Okay. Yeah, and there's no doubt that was done. And most people I pointed out here, even with Israel, Theodore Herzl and such, they weren't even looking to start in Jerusalem. They were looking to start somewhere like in Uganda or something to establish, you know, a place for their people, as it were. But nevertheless, they're put into Jerusalem. I've had some issue with, our policies based on what I perceive as faulty biblical thing, but this thing right here is totally orchestrated. And Robert, we're going to come up here on a break in just a moment. And when we come back, tell us a little bit about Yasser Arafat and what they did to manipulate, how he was perceived as quote unquote Palestinian when he really wasn't. You want to tell people before we go to break, where they can find out more about you?
I'm at jihadwatch.org on the web, jihadwatchrs on Twitter. There's a Facebook page, too, if you can get through it, through all the shadow banning and all that. And these things are updated daily with news and commentary about jihad activity in the U.S. and around the world.
Okay, we'll be right back with more of Robert Spencer, SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Hang on.
This is Rob Pugh from Wisconsin Christian News, and I'm honored to be able to partner with the Sons of Liberty and help Bradley Dean rock the boat, shining the light of truth into the dark world around us, reminding us of our history and Christian heritage, and working hard to educate and inform as many as possible, even as the mainstream media works tirelessly to indoctrinate us all with a socialist leftist agenda. I urge you to support Sons of Liberty along with me, because now is the time for courageous Christians to rise up and get in the game. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
you listen to the show today, you're probably thinking, how can I be a part of changing culture and restoring this country for our posterity? Well, we at the Sons of Liberty have an answer for you. Pick up the phone and call radio stations in your hometown. Tell them you want to hear the Sons of Liberty on your AM and FM stations. Help us multiply the message that we deliver to the nation every day. And equip your community with the truth that is protecting our liberty for generations to come. Remember, we can do this together.
It was William Booth who founded the Salvation Army that said, "I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without generation, politics without God, and heaven without hell." It was also the same William Booth who said, "If you want to change the future, then you're going to have to trouble the present." Well, we here at the Sons of Liberty have always been a troubler of the present to preserve our future for generations to come. And you can be a part of it too. Go to sonsoflibertyradio.com and click on the Spread the Word button, where you can join us in taking part in winning this nation for Christ by becoming a son or daughter of liberty. You can also make a one-time donation as well by clicking the Donate Securely button on our landing page. We cannot do this apart from you. We are all together in this fight to win America back unto Christ and restore us back to the foundations that made us great. Go to sonsoflibertyradio.com today.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to Sons of Liberty, SonsofLibertyRadio.com, SonsofLibertyMedia.com, and on the line I've got with me author Robert Spencer. And Robert, before we go into break, you mentioned that Yasser Arafat, and there's something that some people, you know, he's dead and gone. He knows better than to be following Allah now, because he's found out the true face of his own father, the devil. But the issue that we have now is you brought to light some information regarding his claim to be Palestinian. And one of the things that I'll say just before I turn it over to you, and I want you to kind of give people some history on that as to how he's been used to deceive the people regarding that, is even the PLO charter and the jihad nature, if you will, of that in the land. So do you want to speak to how those things work together, how they pulled Yasser Arafat into that, and then how this PLO charter came about?
Absolutely. The basis of all of it is jihad, that no non-Muslim state can exist on land that is considered to be owned by Islam. Any land that was once ruled by Muslims under Islamic law has to be ruled by Muslims forever. That's Islamic theology. And so there was never any chance of a negotiated settlement with Israel. There had to be this chipping away through the negotiating process, but it was all designed to ultimately destroy Israel. The creation of the Palestinian people was just one part of that initiative. And when they created the Palestinian people out of the local Arabs, then they had to invent some Palestinians. Yasser Arafat was actually Egyptian, but he was given a falsified biography, and it stated that he was born in the Palestinian territories. He was not the only one that this happened to. It's an interesting thing. Recently, I came across a very misleading article saying that somebody was trying to develop currency for the Palestinians and said the Palestinians are not allowed to have their own currency for 70 years. Well, 70 years ago, before the founding of Israel, they had the British mandate for Palestine currency. It wasn't the Palestinian state currency, as was misleadingly presented there, but most importantly, all the heroes that were on the money, their pictures, Yasser Arafat, Edward Said, who was Lebanese, and others, they were not from that area. They were from other areas, and they had taken on themselves the identity of Palestinian for reasons of their own. For Arafat, it was all part of his jihad.
Right. So we're finding out that they are doing the very thing that they are taught to do, and that is to be deceptive in order to gain their end, right?
No doubt about that, yes. Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, said war is deceit.
That's exactly right. Now, with regards to the PLO, the charter that they had, and their cause basically for Israel to be pushed into the sea, claiming that their establishment of the state is entirely illegal, regardless of the passage of time. They recognize the Balfour Declaration, which you also make mention of, too, in regards to the push even from Hollywood. The book and the movie Lawrence of Arabia was used to advance some of this kind of stuff, too. Do you want to talk about a little bit about that as well?
Sure. The Balfour Declaration is from 1917. The British government declared that there should be a Jewish national home in the Palestinian area. And then the League of Nations, which is the precursor to the United Nations, actually awarded that land to Britain for administration until that Jewish national home could be set up and in order to set aside territory for that Jewish national home. But then T.E. Lawrence, who is a real guy, a colonel in the British Army, He is Lawrence of Arabia. He argued that the Arabs had actually fought for the British during World War One, and they were entitled to a reward. And so half of that mandate for Palestine, actually two-thirds of it, was taken away and given to the Arabs for the Arab state that is now Jordan. So that's really the Palestinian state. It already exists. And the rest of it was still set aside for the Jewish national home, which is what it became in Israel.
So, okay, so let me get this straight. So these Palestinians, they actually have a homeland, and they've had it for some time.
That's quite right. And the Palestinian nationality that was invented, it one of the things that it's designed to do is obscure that fact so that they can say the Palestinians have no homeland, need one, and Israel needs to be reduced in size or destroyed altogether, whereas really, they're not any different, the Palestinian Arabs, from the Jordanian Arabs, and that was the land that was set aside for the national home of the Arabs of that area. So really, if we were dealing with this on the basis of reality, we'd be saying, move to Jordan, and pressuring the Jordanian government to take them in.
Okay. Now, let me throw something at you, because I haven't read this part in your book, and I don't even know if you cover any of this. Does the Sykes-Picot Agreement, does that work into this somehow?
Only to the extent that it was part of the partitioning of the area into various states that were created at that time. Syria, Iraq, Jordan, these were all post-World War One, and, I mean, Syria, of course, has been there for the millennia, but Iraq and the borders between Syria and Iraq, these things are the post-World War One invention. Israel was another state that the seeds of it were planted at that time. And so a lot of people say, see, it's artificial. It's not something that is that has ancient roots. But as I show in the book, actually, there has been a Jewish presence in Palestine since the Romans expelled the Jews. Some of them never left. Whereas you can't say the same continuity exists among the Arabs of that area.
Okay. All right. So let's move up a little bit. I can remember as a younger man and watching people like Bill Clinton try to get, they had that big signing. Who was it? Was it Rabin and Arafat that they're in the White House? That all fell through. We've seen it over and over and over, these kinds of, I don't think the West really understands the Middle East. In the Middle East, it's like, you know what? We don't deal with a piece of paper issue. We can go along with that, but the piece of paper means really nothing to us. We have an ideology. We're going to hold to that. It doesn't matter what side you fall on in that. So when you come to an issue like, okay, now we got, what's this guy's name? Kushner. He's trying to work out a piece of it. Do you really think any of that's going to have any effect, or is your mentality maybe like mine to say, you know what, you let these guys fight it out until there's actually a winner, and then there isn't any more dispute about it?
Well, yeah, exactly. Kushner is never going to be able to hit upon something that will be satisfactory to the Palestinians, because the only thing they'll be satisfied with is destroying Israel altogether. So Israel has to stay strong against that, and the Palestinians have to be made to see that they have no way to win. And then the Islamic law says you don't fight jihad when you have no chance of winning, and so there might actually be a period of peace in that event. But instead, we have the constant incitement from Palestinian leaders because they do think they can win, especially when the Israeli left, like the American left, doesn't seem to be at all interested in defending their own country.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I get that. And this is where I say, you know, this intervention from the West, obviously Israel has enough. They can take care of themselves. They demonstrated that in history. They don't have any problem fighting their enemies and even defeating their enemies and gaining from that. I mean, we've seen that several times in history. So this whole thing that we got going on here in the Middle East, the only solution is to let these guys duke it out then.
Well, I'm not saying that there should be a war, but that Israel should say, look, we do not recognize the Palestinian people as such, which they made a big mistake in doing back in the 1970s, and we're calling upon Syria, Lebanon, and Jordan to take in the Palestinians who don't want to live in Israel, and we will accept any who do want to live here if they will obey the Israeli laws, but those who do not will face prosecution. Those who start armed insurrection will be dealt with in an equal and overwhelming force of arms and response. And so consequently, there is no way forward for the jihadi.
Right. And tell me something. How many Palestinians are actually living in Israel and they actually like living there? Because there are some.
Hundreds of thousands. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they're known as Israeli Arabs. They're not actually known as Palestinians because there's, I mean, of course, there's not any difference between them and the Palestinians either. But it's become taken for granted that if you're a Palestinian who accepts Israel, then you're not a Palestinian. So the Israeli Arabs are there. They have representation in the Knesset. They are enjoy complete equal rights with the Israelis. These things are not generally known. There's this general view in the establishment media of Israel as this oppressive regime that denies basic rights to the Arab Muslims. This is completely false.
Right, right. Okay, we got to go to break here, Robert. People can find you at jihadwatch.org, and we'll be right back on the other side of the break with Robert Spencer, author of The Palestinian Delusion, right after these messages heading at sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Hang on.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, runs in my family on the mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Congress passed a $1.4 trillion government-wide spending package on Thursday, which includes increasing the national age to buy tobacco products from 18 to 21. The two-bill package is some 2,400 pages long and does add steady funding for President Trump's U.S.-Mexico border wall. All indications are that the president will sign the bill once it's on his desk. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is condemning the Democratic-led House for passing articles of impeachment against President Trump, and now the Kentucky Republican says that Democrats might not actually formally submit those articles to the Senate.
The House Democrats may be too afraid to even transmit their shoddy work product to the Senate. Mr. President, it looks like the prosecutors are getting cold feet.
The latest Democratic presidential debate happens tonight. Seven candidates will be taking the stage in Los Angeles. This is USA Radio News.
Get all your gifts at Banana Republic Factory. Take 50 to 70% off everything. Shop sweaters from $19.99 and scarves from $9.99. Plus, take an extra 50% off clearance in stores. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory. Get all your gifts at Banana Republic Factory. Take 50 to 70% off everything. Shop sweaters from $19.99 and scarves from $9.99. Plus, take an extra 50% off clearance in stores. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory.
Friends and family, I've told you about the great sleep I get with my MyPillow every night. Well, right now, you can get a great deal and extra safety because if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, get their buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow premium pillow. Your 60-day money-back guarantee goes all the way through March 1st, 2020. That's now through December 25th. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special and use my promo code USA.
We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family from criminals, and he's the one arrested. The legal system is not fair, and responsibly armed Americans are political targets. So here's how you can take a simple and rewarding journey to complete self-defense confidence. Simply text GCN to 87222 to discover how the USCCA can give you the training, education, legal, and financial protection you need to truly protect the people you love. Don't risk everything and leave your family vulnerable. Now it's time to prepare and protect yourself. So if you're ready to take your next step as a responsibly armed American, you're ready to truly become your family's ultimate protector. Text GCN to 87222. Discover your life-saving USCCA member benefits today. Again, that's text GCN to 87222.
Welcome back to Sons of Liberty Radio, SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, and on the line I got with me Robert Spencer, the author of The Palestinian Delusion. And Robert, there's a couple of things I want to go back, and then we'll move more, I guess I'm kind of back and forth here in history. But, you know, when Israel was set in the land there, which is basically modern Israel, I know some of it's extended, but when they were set there and they went into the land, I remember seeing the videos in that, in a historical documentary. It was really amazing. I mean, these people didn't have really anything. They were taking bulldozers and putting, you know, steel wrapping around them, and they were fighting their enemies off because they were attacked the very day they got in the land. Who was in the land when they went in there? Was it just a barren land when they took over in there?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I show in the book how the land was famously desolate. Mark Twain and others traveled there in the 19th century and wrote about how they would go for miles and not see anybody. And that there were Jewish communities here and there. There were Arab communities here and there. But mostly there was nobody. Then the Zionist project began to herald the arrival of large numbers of Jews from North Africa, from the Middle East, from Europe. And then the Arabs also started to come. And I show that most of the Palestinians are not actually from the area at all, like we were talking about Edward Said and Yasser Arafat, so that they come from somewhere else. Because once the Jews got there, they brought economic opportunity. And a lot of Arabs from the surrounding areas moved to the land of Israel at that time in order to get jobs from the Jewish settlers. Then they turned around and said they were the indigenous people of the land and the Jews had no right to be there.
Incredible. Incredible. After they had set up all that and the people were benefiting for it, it kind of reminds me of some of those people who come to our country and there are all these benefits to them of opportunity and everything else. And then when they get here, many of them leave oppressive Muslim nations or communist or socialist nations, and they come here and they say, oh, it's so oppressive there. By the way, I know we have opportunity here, but why don't you make America more like that? It kind of sounds like the same thing that went on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It's very much like that.
Yeah, so in Chapter 5 of your book, it's Seeds of the Peace Process, and you start back through that of what was going on somewhere in the 50s or so. Tell us a little bit about that, because you've got peace process in quotes, and as we've already talked about, there isn't any peace until somebody wins the fight.
Right. And in the 1950s, the Arabs attacked Israel. In the 1960s, the Arabs attacked Israel. In the early 1970s, the Arabs attacked Israel. I'm talking about the surrounding nations of Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia. And Israel won every time, although in the 60s it started, or actually in the late 50s, it started that the Israelis would be stopped by their allies, the United States, in the interests of trying to come to a negotiated peace settlement. And consequently, their advances would be halted, and they would give away various territories that they had won in battle, fair and square by the law of warfare, in order to chase these peace agreements. And this is a self-defeating process because it contradicts the idea of jihad, which demands all of the land for the Muslims, and has only resulted in the weakening of Israel and the granting of Israel various concessions that have not been for its best interests.
Right. Now, there were people who would say that, well, Israel is like the West Bank and stuff. They're holding that illegally and everything. According to those wars, they took over. They won that land. Their attackers came at them to destroy them, and then they just occupied that land till then, right? I mean, this isn't, as far as I can see, unless somebody can bring me something else, it looks like they own that land legitimately because they were attacked by people who wanted to destroy them, and because they defeated them, they took over that land.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a recognized law of warfare for all of time that if you are attacked and you defeat the aggressor nation, then you can take some territory for your own self-defense. It's only been in connection with Israel that suddenly this is not acceptable. And that's obviously politically motivated and all part of the larger effort to destroy Israel altogether. But also, not only does Israel have a right to that land by right of conquest, but also Israel has a right to that land by international law, because it was awarded to the British, as I said before, as part of the mandate for Palestine to start a Jewish national home. There is no other country that can lay any claim to it except Israel as a result of that.
Right, right. Okay, so let's move forward here a little bit. The 1970s, and I do remember, but I am far removed from that time, but I remember as a kid seeing all these planes that would get hijacked by Muslims, and they would be on the tarmac, and they were had negotiators and all this kind of stuff. I remember that from when I was a kid. Let me just ask you, just out of to bring me back to some kind of remembrance, did that have anything to do with this at all?
Oh, sure, yeah. There was hot war in the 60s with the Six-Day War, and then with the Yom Kippur War in 1973 between the Israelis and the Arabs, the surrounding Arab nation. And the hijackings and that kind of thing, they were all part of that. But as I show in the book, it was in the early 70s, after the Arabs lost the Yom Kippur War, that the Soviets began to pressure the Egyptians to make peace with Israel. And then Anwar Sadat, the president of Egypt, decided that if he was going to have to make peace, that he would try to get through peaceful negotiations what he couldn't get on the battlefield, and that he would ally with the United States rather than the Soviets because they could pressure Israel more effectively. And so he switched sides and became a great peacemaker. But it was really all just to advance the jihad agenda altogether.
Yeah, and he paid a great price for that. They assassinated him. So that kind of leads up to the issue of what you term poor, naive Carter, Jimmy Carter. Almost. Well, let me change it. I would say he's the worst president we've had. I don't call Barack Hussein Obama Sator Sabarka a president. I call him a usurper. I think everybody's pretty clear that that guy was not qualified to be in the office. But what about Carter? He was naive about a lot of things. I mean, I applaud him on his humanitarian work here in the United States, but he was very naive about a lot of things, including the issue of some kind of peace process, as it were, with Israel and her enemies, right?
Yeah, and it was actually Anwar Sadat who called him poor, naive Carter. This was emblematic of the fact that Carter admired Sadat tremendously. And when the Camp David negotiations began in 1978, he was saying that Carter told Sadat that he would give him everything he wanted, that he would work for Sadat's interests. And he never was very friendly to Menachem Begin, the Prime Minister of Israel. It was all just an exercise in getting the Egyptians and the Muslim Arabs of Palestine what they were demanding.
Yeah, it always seems that when this issue of the peace process comes up, and no matter what president's doing it or any of that stuff, that it's always Israel who is the country who's looked at for the compromise. It's never the other side. And I don't know if that's somehow a Western mindset that says, well, if we can make the bad guys, the hostile people, if we can make them sort of feel comfortable with us, then maybe we can get them to the table to sign our piece of paper, and then we can claim a victory, even though it's worth about as much as the piece of paper they signed. What was the problem with Carter?
Well, Carter has been criticized throughout his career for being anti-Semitic. He was very harsh toward Israel throughout his presidency, and he seemed to have a kind of hero worship for Sadat. Carter, of course, for all his failings as president, for all his faults, was certainly a Christian, and I think that he was impressed by Sadat's stated desire to make peace, but he was also not bright enough and far too naive to see through it and realize that Sadat was just trying to achieve his goals by other means and was not really a genuine peacemaker at all.
Sure. Now you bring up something that's going on, and in my state of South Carolina, I think they've written law that is a complete violation of freedom of speech, even though I understand what some people have done with BDS and stuff. But this issue of, a protest of a national entity. You don't think because somebody might be critical of Israel that they're necessarily anti-Semitic, but there are people who are definitely anti-Semitic who are critical of Israel. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And okay. A lot of times, quite often, being critical of Israel is really just a cover for being anti-Semitic. You can see this with Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman from Minnesota, and Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman from Michigan. You can see that it's very clear that they're anti-Semitic. They've made numerous anti-Semitic statements, but if you ask them, they'll just tell you, oh, no, we're just anti-Israel.
Yeah. No, I've been critical of Israel over some things, but I don't hate Jewish people by any means. I mean, as a Christian, we're called to love all men and to give them the gospel because we want them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But the point is that, we have to make that distinction, I think, in this culture. But you're right. Their very ideology, the foundation of that, is not just anti-Jew. It's anti-Christian, too. Robert, we're coming up here on a break again, coming up on the last segment. Tell people where they can find out more about you.
I'm at jihadwatch.org, jihadwatch.org, updated many times daily with news and commentary about jihadist activity in the United States and around the world.
All right, we'll be right back with the final segment here with Robert Spencer, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. Hang on.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. all we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hi, I'm Troy Newman, president of Operation Rescue, and you're listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio, your daily inoculation against Satan's lies and the twisted logic of the left. Listen at your own risk. You may just become a patriot.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Welcome back to Final Signal to SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, and on the line we've got with us author Robert Spencer of JihadWatch.org. And Robert, going into the break, some things I was thinking about was, let's pick up real quickly some of the things that each president has done. We've got Bush that's tried to, after Carter, we've got Bush that's tried this. We've got the usurper, Obama, that's tried this. Now we're looking at the Trump administration trying this. Where have each of these guys failed so far?
The main thing that they have all called for is for the Palestinians to recognize the Jewish state, not just to recognize Israel, which they've done, but to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. This is a very important distinction because they have demanded that Palestinians who were supposedly expelled from Israel, which is not true, as I show in the book, but they insist it, they demand that they be allowed to come back. And so the thing is, if they all came back, then Israel would no longer be a Jewish state. It would be the Palestinian state. So all the peace negotiations have been based on the demand that the Palestinians recognize Israel as a Jewish state. This is what they have steadfastly refused to do. They will not and cannot do that. It goes against the jihad imperative.
Right, and this was sort of a big deal, and I, for the life of me, I don't see why it was such a big deal for America, unless there's political correction, correctness. But I always thought no matter what side of the fence you were on with Israel, except unless maybe you were Muslim, that the issue of recognizing the capital of a state, the capital of a country, to be the capital that they claimed it is. So why in the world we were
somewhere else other than Jerusalem just didn't make any sense to me as far as a recognition that this is their capital. I mean, if we have embassy there at all, why would we not recognize the capital of that particular state? That just never made any sense to me.
Right. And this is a very important point that has not been sufficiently understood, that Trump made a huge decision when he decided to move the capital, because all the other presidents who had rejected doing that were rejecting it because they were afraid that there would be terror attacks. So in effect, they were letting the terrorists decide what American foreign policy would be. And Trump instead said, no, we're going to do the right thing. Come with me.
Yeah, and I actually applaud him for that. I mean, I think that's, you know, if that would be like, you know, people coming over here and say, well, Washington, D.C. is not the capital of America. We're not going to recognize that. Then, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if I was president, I'd say, well, then you're not getting an embassy here. I mean, yeah. I don't know what the whole issue is there. But yeah, you're right. It was a big deal. And I thought it was, in my mind, I just thought it was, this ought to be pretty simple, a pretty easy thing. All right. Let's move real quickly because time is short, and I kind of want to get through some of these things to get towards the end here, because I think this, the thing that we want to press at the end, is probably the most important thing about this issue altogether. You have a chapter 9, the Palestinian victimhood machine. A growing number of people all around the world believe that Palestinian terrorism against Israel is actually justified, as the Israel government is a racist, repressive regime that is one of the world's worst abusers of human rights. Now, look, I've got some guys who will write and they'll make some reference to this. I've seen some videos of some Israeli soldiers, in my opinion, who acted out of order, shooting unarmed people across the border and things of this nature. And I'm sure that happens, not to justify that, but I'm sure that happens a lot with various armies. But this victimhood machine, what are some examples that you have of this?
Well, see, a lot of the things that you see about people who are unarmed being shot across the border are faked in various ways. One is that the video doesn't start until after it shows them throwing rocks or other or Molotov cocktails at the Israeli soldiers, and then the Israeli soldiers retaliate. That's not shown. That's one way that this is done. Another way is to take photos of people who are injured and claim that they're injured by Israel. As a matter of fact, just a few days ago, for example, this is how this works. I saw a photo of a little baby, and the caption was, it was going all over Twitter, and the caption was all about how the Israelis had injured this little baby in their indiscriminate attacks in Gaza. But in reality, the baby had been hurt in Iraq in 2017. It had nothing to do with Israel at all. But there is a mislabeling that's intentional in order to make people think that Israel's committing these atrocities.
Okay. What are some, and I appreciate you clarifying some of that. The one that I saw had like at least a minute or two of the guy just standing there. I don't know what all was done, but he was quite a ways away from the border while some other guys had actual arms and things of this nature and throwing rocks. It was very clear what they were doing.
Well, the thing about it is, I don't know what footage you're talking about. I haven't seen the exact thing. But I can tell you that certainly nobody is perfect. No army is perfect.
Absolutely.
But when Israeli soldiers do things that are against international law regarding the laws of warfare, then they're prosecuted and imprisoned if found guilty. Whereas among the Palestinians, people who target Israeli civilians are celebrated as heroes.
Sure, they are, and paid oftentimes. Their families are paid oftentimes.
That's quite right. Yes.
What are some issues here in the Palestinian victimhood machine? Because, you know, I've seen where in our own country we've seen those in, say, the homosexual community. They've pushed for all kinds of things. And sorry about the noise, folks. I'm in my house. I don't have a soundproof thing, and my kids are running an ice maker. What we've seen where they have used, quote unquote, fake hate crimes. And there's no crime that comes out of love. Every crime is committed as out of hate. But they've used that to push their agenda, and I've seen the Muslims do it in our country. What about here in Palestine? How are they doing that over in Israel? Is that some of the things that you're talking about manipulation of photos and videos and things of that nature?
Yeah, it's all designed to show that the Palestinians are the victims that Israel is committing war crimes and atrocities on a regular basis. This is something that the international media picks up eagerly, and then the United Nations condemns Israel. The United Nations has condemned Israel more than any other country by far, even though there are genuine human rights offenders in the world, and Israel is not among them. But the United Nations is completely on board with this propaganda initiative. And so it's very effective because it's begun to isolate Israel and around the world and make people think that it's some kind of rogue outlaw state, when actually the Israeli military is quite scrupulous in avoiding civilian casualties.
Yeah, we've seen some of that where they've dropped a lot of leaflets over areas that they're going to target and tell people, you better get out of here. And they give them time to actually leave and get out. Rather than, you know, face that, those bombings or those raids or whatever the case may be. All right, so let's tie this up. We got about 2 minutes here. Where are we going on all this? Again, I kind of go back to the thing of, my opinion, it's kind of like, even, it's so simple, it's kind of like on the playground when you've got the bully out there. Somebody has to stand up to the bully and punch his lights out one time to calm him down and get him with the program. Isn't that what we're really talking about? It's not a signing of a piece of paper or anything like that. That's just ridiculous.
You're quite right. That's what it's all about. We have to stand up to the bully. We have to stop accepting the bully's construction of events and claims about the Israeli atrocities, claims about the existence of the Palestinian people, all these things, these fictions, fantasies, and propaganda we have to reject. And then from a period of strength, we can work toward achieving some sort of an accord that would be based on the fact that the Palestinians see, because the Israelis are so strong, that there's no point in waging the jihad. But we're a long way from that at this point.
Sure. And would you agree that we're even, you know, not to put this, not to dissect completely away from the Israel issue, but here in America, I mean, to be honest with you, I'd like to see all that money that's going all around the world, whether it's to Israel or Muslim countries or other countries or this, that, and the other. I'd rather see us dealing constitutionally with our own people who won't stand up to the bully. And, I mean, since 9/11, what, we're putting more Muslims in Congress. We're allowing Islam to be a protected religion while Christianity is attacked. You got about 30 seconds or so. You want to tell people what you kind of think about that in our own country?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's all the same motion that we are giving in where we need to be standing strong. And the left in Israel and the left in America are very similar in wanting all these things that will ultimately be destructive of society if we don't stand up to them.
I agree. Robert, thank you for being on the show today, and I'm glad we got you back. I know we didn't get to get together the other week. Tell people again real quickly before we head off the air where they can find more about you.
Jihadwatch.org and JihadwatchRS on Twitter. There's even a Facebook page, but it's shadow banned.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Robert, for joining us. 23 hours. Bradley will be back with you. Till then, see ya.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.